as a young schoolgirl when I was about 12 years old. The reason why I came was because a friend of mine called Sandy used to come to Girls Brigade here. And I was standing on her doorstep when this elderly lady came along with a motorcycle helmet. And her name was Mrs. Kay. And she said I should come along to Girls Brigade. Now, most of you, you won't remember her, long gone, but very faithful in the Lord. So I came along to Girls Brigade, and from there, I started to come to church. I'd been going to a Catholic school, and my mum was Jewish. My dad was from the West Indies, from Dominica, and I was born in Antigua. And then I married a Nigerian, so it's, you know, I've done the whole thing. So, but I came along to the Girls Brigade and went to camps. And then a friend of mine, Mary, who sometimes comes here, do you all know Mary? Mary Harold, yes. Well, we were teenagers together. And she took me along to a tent meeting in, I think, where was it? Hackney Downs. There was a big tent there. And I gave my life to Jesus there. I'd had lots of teaching in the church. I'd been pondering and pondering about the difference because I grew up believing the facts about Jesus. I knew he died to take away the sins of the world. But I began to realize he hadn't just died to take away the sins of the world. He died to take away my sins. And I needed to make a response. So I went to that tent meeting and I made a response there. And my life has never been the same since. Now, it took me a while to walk through the waters of baptism. Years ago, we used to have all these pews and we used to have holes in the front. And then there were some very faithful people that used to pray. And they'd watch the young people there to see if they were going to take communion, because that was normally the sign that you'd given your life to Jesus. And one day, I stretched out my hand and took the communion cup and the bread. And then afterwards, they all said, oh, I noticed you took communion. Does that mean something's happened? I said, yes, I've given my life to Jesus. And it was very special. So I got baptized. I got baptized here in this very pool. And that was a real joy. And something changed in me when I got baptized. I realized I wasn't the same person. When it talks about going into the waters, it's like you're being buried with Jesus in his death. And then you're risen again to newness of life. I knew that. And interestingly enough, after I'd been baptized, I never wanted to wear earrings anymore, not pierced earrings. Because in the Old Testament, it talks about piercing someone's ear, a slave's ear, to the door, and then they would be a slave forever. And it's almost like I knew I was going to be for Jesus forever now. And so I sometimes put on clip-ons now, but no more piercings for me. So if you've got piercings, I'm not having a go at you. I'm just saying that's how it was for me, okay? So from there, I stayed in the church for a while and then left because I'd become a student and my life had sort of moved over to Southeast London. And I've been very privileged to have worked as an evangelist. I've seen many people come to know the Lord. And I just want to say that it's really good because good seed was sown in me, in this very church. Christine was a real encouragement many years ago. There she is. You have not changed in all those years in your looks. I think she's found the secret of eternal youth, because I don't know how she does it. So I knew Christine way, way back, and she was inspired me in all sorts of different areas. So it's good to see you still walking with the Lord and other people that are here. You know, Hillary was a teenager with me and stuff. So it's really good for me to come back here today. It's good because there's been a constant witness here in this church. And I know now you're in a period of interregnum, but my prayer for you is that you will find someone who will be able to encourage you to go on in the journey with boldness and great power. So we're going to look at Exodus chapter 30. Has anyone got any questions about me at all? So do I look weird? Or you're welcome to ask. Sorry, this is not going to be a quite completely usual service.
How are your boys?
My boys? Well, Abraham, turn around. That's Abraham, my second born. And yeah, they're all doing fine. I've got three boys and a girl. So my daughter's just about to go off to Cambridge in a few days. So God has been very good, that miracles happen. And she's worked hard as well. And another one's off studying law, and another one's working, and Abraham's in recruitment. So if you want a job, talk to him, he's your man. Do you want to come and read the Bible for me, Abraham? No, okay, that's fine. Why would he do that when he hasn't even looked at it before? That's so mean of your mum, isn't it? Okay, so I will just say that it was a real desire of my heart to get married and have children, but I decided many years ago, after having dated a Muslim whilst I was in the church, and God using people in the church to say, why are you doing that? You know you can only marry a Christian, and I knew they were right. So that didn't go anywhere, praise the Lord. So I hung out there and waited for someone that loved the Lord. And then I got married when I was 35. But God was very faithful, and I had four children in a very short space of time. Some people from the church came to my wedding ceremony, which was at, in the East London Tabernacle, because I needed a bigger space. And then after being married for 6 years and 1 month, my husband went to Nigeria to start off a project, and he was sadly murdered there in Ibadan. And all I can say is, I know some of you will have suffered loss in your life and pain and grief. I was widowed in the year 2000, so I was still, you know, young, and I had four young children aged five and under to bring up. But I want you to know something. God is very, very faithful. He is so faithful. He will strengthen you, encourage you, and keep you going. Because it doesn't matter what loss we have experienced, Jesus can be more than enough for us. And I want you to keep that in the back of your minds as we look at Exodus chapter 13 and verse 17, which I'm going to read to you now. And this takes place after the 10 plagues have happened, and the Israelites have had that feast of unleavened bread. They've taken their bread and they've eaten the bread whilst they were in a hurry to go, and then gone out to get away from the Egyptians. Okay, so in chapter 13, verse 17, does it come up behind me? You can all see it together. Ooh, good news. Yep. When the king of Egypt let the people go, God did not take them by the road that goes up the coast to Philistia, although it was the shortest way. God thought, I do not want the people to change their minds and return to Egypt when they see that they are going to have to fight. Instead, he led them in a roundabout way through the desert towards the Red Sea. The Israelites were armed for battle. Moses took the body of Joseph with him, as Joseph had made the Israelites solemnly promise to do. Joseph had said, when God rescues you, you must carry my body with you from this place. The Israelites left Succoth and camped to Etham on the edge of the desert. During the day, the Lord went in front of them in a pillar of cloud to show them the way. And during the night, he went in front of them in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel night and day. The pillar of cloud was always in front of the people during the day, and the pillar of fire at night. It's very interesting. You might feel, why did God choose the Jewish people? Why them? Were they perfect? Were they so much better? It doesn't say that in the scriptures. He chose them because they were very human, very much like us. When you think at what place they are now, here at this time, they've just seen 10 plagues come against the Egyptians, and the last one was the most terrible. It was the death of the firstborn. And it says in the scriptures, if you look back, that there was not one Egyptian household where there was not weeping and mourning, because in every Egyptian household, someone had been firstborn and someone had died. But God made a separation with the Israelites at that time. He said if they took the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorposts of their doors and on the lintel, when the angel of death came, Passover. And this passage we're looking at is after that has happened, after they have celebrated the first Passover, where the angel of death passed over, and where God has told them they need to do that every year. And when Jewish people, when I do this with my family or my friends, as a Jewish believer in Jesus, it's as if it happened to me back then. We say it. It's as if it happened to us, you see, when you pass over me. It's because there's that sense that God did something amazing for us as a people. Now, I don't know where you guys stand, what your relationship with God is, what kind of a week you've had. I don't know. I don't know what you've passed through and how difficult it may have been. But I do know something, is that God has done great things in your lives. Whether you acknowledge it or not, he has saved you from so much. And he wants to continue to do that. And he wants you to thank him. And it was great that there were some thanks being given today. That was a delight to my heart to hear different people thanking God. And I know some of you in your hearts were also doing that. God knew his people. There's this verse here in verse 17 of chapter 13. God did not take them by the road that goes up the coast of Philistia, though it was the shortest way. God thought, I do not want the people to change their minds and return to Egypt. Can you imagine it? After all that they had seen God do, he realized they might want to change their minds and go back to slavery. Why would they want to do that? Why would they want to go back when they'd seen the deliverance of the Lord? But that's human nature. Sometimes something great's happened, and if we don't make that decision to remember it, we just walk on and don't give knowledge to it. That's why it's really important to remember what God has done for you, for me, for us. We must remember and give thanks for that. He led them through the desert in a more roundabout way. And sometimes you might think about your lives and think like, oh, this is hard. Why am I going through this? Why is God allowing this? What's going on? But sometimes it may be to keep you away from things that are not great. And we don't know it. We don't see the whole picture. But we are required to trust him, to really trust him. There's a wonderful little bit in this small passage where the children of Israel, they take the body of Joseph with them. Okay, so I won't assume you will know, but back in the book of Genesis, there was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who all walked with the Lord, and God had promised each of them that they would go to the promised land. But the Jewish people were held captive in Egypt and became slaves. But Joseph, who was the son of Jacob, knew that God would keep his promises And even though he died in Egypt, and even though his people would go on to be slaves, which he knew that a time would come when God would deliver them. That was a prophetic knowledge. He knew it. God spoke it to him. And he said to the children of Israelite, when God rescues you, take me with you. I'm going to the promised land. That man was a man of real faith, because he didn't see it in the actual, but he knew it was going to come to pass. And that had been passed down through those generations, so that when the Jewish people had gone through that time of slavery and entrapment and being held captive, when God finally set them free, they took up the bones of Joseph to bury them in the promised land. That promise was made many years before. It took many years before they saw it come into being. I don't know what things you feel God has promised you. I don't know what things God has spoken over your life. Maybe you've got a bit older and you're thinking, when's it going to come to pass? Is it really going to happen? If God has spoken it, he will do it. He will do it because he is faithful. And if you feel a bit discouraged, stir yourself up and pray these things into being, because God does not want you to be stagnant or dead or back in a pit or in a pit of self-pity, wallowing. He wants you to move on with his purposes and the call of God on your life. And it doesn't matter how old you are. When I first came here, I was about 12. I'm now almost 60. I'm 59. I'll be 60. I was baptized here in 1979. In September, I think it was next. It would be literally the anniversary next week. So that's a long time since I was baptized here. But God is faithful. Don't give up on him. He doesn't give up on you. So just got to find the page again. So the Israelites were rescued and Joseph's bones went up with them. The first followers of Jesus were called followers of the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. God has a plan for us. He has a way for us, and we have to follow that way. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, God made his way really clear. There was a pillar of smoke in the day, and there was a cloud of smoke in the day and a pillar of fire at night. So he made it really clear in the wilderness which way they were to go. I don't know where you're at. You don't know where I'm at. We're at a place on our journey of life with God. We are seeking to follow Jesus. We are seeking to walk in his ways. It is not enough just to give your life to Jesus, to get baptized, and then to think, well, that's good, that was nice, I'll just go do my own thing. God has got a perfect plan and a way for you to walk in. And if you will listen to him, he will make it very, very clear. The same way he made it very clear for the Israelites in the wilderness. You know what people like, you've got a big group of people and there were thousands of them. A big group of people, and sometimes they'd not want to get up maybe out of bed as quick as someone else, so they might be still packing their tent. But so long as they didn't go too far off, they could see that pillar of smoke or they could see the pillar of fire and find their way. I don't know where you are or whether you've gone off track a bit, but I do know this, that God wants you to come back and follow him. And it's not too late. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, how much you've let him down. That is not the important thing. The important thing is to get back on track and follow him. I thought I'd give you an opportunity to do that today. To get back on track with Jesus if you're not. And sometimes, at the moment, I'm writing about forgiveness. I think forgiveness is really important. When my husband was murdered, God gave me the grace to forgive those that murdered him. And my prayer for them was that they'd make heaven, they'd repent, make heaven, and that when they met my husband there, he would rejoice and they would rejoice because they'd know it was all forgiven by Jesus. Because God's forgiveness can forgive anything. I've sat in many congregations over the years. I've spoken in many. I've spoken to congregations where people have done some awful things, yet somehow they found themselves back there in church. And some people sit in church and they all look very shiny, but actually they've been off doing X, Y, and Z the night before, the week before. And no one knows. It's only God that knows our hearts. It's God that sees us when we're on our own. But I do want you to give you an opportunity, whatever it is that's holding you back from following the way, following Jesus, to let it go. Just lay it down today. So I thought about making you come up, but you don't need to come up and respond. You can do it right where you are, right there in your place. So I'd like everyone to shut their eyes and just think for a moment. That is making you go away from Jesus. Is there anything that makes you feel your love's a bit cold? If there is, just talk to God right now. Followed him. You can do that today. Prayer, and I'm going to pray it line by line, and as long as you feel you can agree, you can pray it yourself. I'll give room for that. Father God, thank you for sending your only son Jesus to die for me. I know that I've sinned. I've done wrong things. I've walked away from you. Please forgive me. Wash me clean. This day, I make a decision to turn away from sin and to follow you with all of my heart. I want to walk in your way. You are the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, you know what's transpired in everyone's heart. I pray, Lord, you will give them the courage to speak to someone else in the church or to talk more to you so that they can realize today can be a fresh start, walking closer with you, laying certain sins down, following you. Give them the strength to do that, Father. In Jesus' name. Would you mind playing the song that I asked for?